probably no other person, arguably, in contemporary history has had the spiritual influence on a nation as has Oprah Winfrey. And that may seem somewhat strange to say because, you know, your first thought is, wait a minute, Oprah Winfrey's a television personality, isn't she? And, oh, by the way, she's not even on TV anymore. And, oh, by the way, the OWN network isn't doing so well. So how can we say that that Oprah has such a spiritual influence? She certainly does, and it's all cataloged here in this new book by Dr. Stephen Mansfield, Where Has Oprah Taken Us? The Religious Influence of the World's Most Famous Woman. Dr. Mansfield is the author of a couple of books on the faith of politicians, George W. Bush for one, Barack Obama for another, and he is the founder of the Mansfield Group, and you can learn all about him at www.mansfieldgroup.com. And Stephen Mansfield, it's always an honor to chat with you, and welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you again.
Tell our people here in this audience why it is true that that Oprah has such a significant spiritual influence.
Well, primarily just because of the sheer size of her audience. No one, certainly not any religious broadcaster, has ever had the kind of television audience that she does. Any 1 hour of the Oprah Winfrey Network exceeds the audience of Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Pat Robertson, even most of Billy Graham's evening broadcast when they used to broadcast his crusades. So it's not only the strength of her personality and her popularity, but just the sheer numbers that makes her absolutely decisive. In fact, I think it will probably end up being said, unless somebody else exceeds her, and I hope that's the case, that she was the most powerful religious broadcaster of our time.
Mm.
And, most people don't think of her that way, so it's good for us to remind them.
What makes her who she is? Let's go all the way back to her upbringing in Mississippi, and then the start of her career. What has shaped Oprah Winfrey? I mean, she hasn't always been this pop culture superstar.
No. She was born to a rural black family, of course, in Mississippi. Then moved to Detroit with her mother, Vernita, during the Great Migrations north of African Americans from the South decades ago. And she ended up living with Vernon Winfrey in Nashville, Tennessee, and had a wonderful church, conservative, theologically conservative church background. Her father, Oprah Winfrey, I'm sorry, Vernon Winfrey, you know, raised her in the Black Baptist Church, slightly different from, you know, Southern Baptist or other kinds of Baptists. And she, you know, grew up in the church, grew up learning scripture, gave her first speeches in the church, got her first awards for performance from the church. And pretty much stayed in line with that training until she was she'd done some broadcasting in Nashville, and she got hired in Baltimore to be the co-anchor with a man who was kind of a Walter Cronkite figure in that region, and completely failed at it. She's in her late 20s now. She's so stressed by it, her hair is falling out. And what really was a turning point in her life was she went to hear a sermon at that time at her African Methodist Episcopal Church in Baltimore. About God being a jealous God. Well, she completely misunderstood it. She heard it as though God is jealous of her. Of course, the meaning of that text that's repeated several times in the Old Testament and of the pastor was that God is jealous for her.
Mm-hmm.
God is jealous that she be only unto him, so to speak. Well, as slight a reason as it sounds, she has said since that was when she began to seek out her quote-unquote own spirituality, her spiritual self. And she began to turn from the biblical Christianity of her youth towards sort of a motivational success, self-help kind of spirituality that really is a blending of, you know, the Hinduism that came into our country, our society during the 50s and 60s, with kind of a self-help, motivational, achievement, business kind of orientation of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And this is what she read. This is what she studied. You know, visualize it. The God within will achieve it. You know, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Kinds of things. And this was her private source of inspiration for years and years. And finally, in 1994, after she was a successful broadcaster, she was celebrating her 40th birthday, and she just wanted to rise above the daytime slime queen reputation that she had. You know, she was airing shows on every kind of disgusting topic, as many of us will remember.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to bring the spiritual teachers who had influenced her onto her show, and she did months and months and months of Marianne Williamson and Deepak Chopra and Gary Zukav and Eckhart Tolle and just all kinds of people. And, of course, this was a phenomenon in American broadcasting history, certainly religious broadcasting. And it began, I think, to shift our society a bit. And I'll just say very quickly, and then we can come back to it if you want, that one of the main reasons was she told her audience that there was a difference between religion and spirituality. They could be Mormon or Baptist or Buddhist or whatever they wanted to be in there on Sunday morning, so to speak, but they should learn a kind of spirituality that would be sort of their private practice. And so she spoke as though these spiritual practices she was urging were not related to religion in any way, when of course they are related. You know, religion defines spirituality. Mm-hmm. But that's what caused her to be able to quickly and powerfully shift the worldview of her audience, which I need to say, by the way, was largely African-American church-going women. So it was a pretty phenomenal shift in our culture.
Stephen Mansfield, my guest, his book, Where Has Oprah Taken Us? The Religious Influence of the World's Most Famous Woman, www.mansfieldgroup.com is where you can learn more about Stephen and get a copy of this book. A couple of questions along the lines of what you've just said. Number one, it's difficult, isn't it, to pigeonhole Oprah Winfrey's spirituality. I mean, you can't say she's a Christian. You can't say she's a Buddhist. You can't say it's Kabbalah. There are so many. So is there a syncretism about Oprah Winfrey? And if so, does that syncretism indict in any way the teaching of the specific African-American church community that influenced her? And what does it say in general about the theology of African-American churches vis-a-vis Jeremiah Wright and black liberation theology?
Well, I appreciate the chance to speak to that. I attend an African-American church in Washington, D.C., where I live, and I have to tell you that the Jeremiah Wright kind of phenomenon, number one, is distinct from where Oprah is. He's actually been very critical of her. And number two is in the vast minority of African-American churches. He's far less conservative theologically, far more political than most of them are. And he's been unbelievably critical of Oprah, believing that she's, you know, been carried away by mystical New Age kind of thinking. So we really need to partition the traditional African-American church from Jeremiah Wright, and then again partition Oprah from the other two. But I think that you're making a good point, and that is that many times, and I say this again as a devoted member of a church somewhat like this, you know, churches and African-American churches in particular can be high on emotion, high on feeling, and that's one of the great things about them. But we also have to be theological. And I think it was tragic in retrospect how quickly Oprah was able to move from her Christian moorings with her father and later churches that she attended into this sort of New Age, Eastern, Hindu-based kind of motivational theology. And yes, it's an indictment not just of some African-American churches, but pretty much all churches. I would say that in America, you know, I think you would agree with this, that we tend to be a mile wide, an inch deep, theologically shallow, to some extent. And, you know, bless them, the average pastor is doing good to cover the Ten Commandments, much less get around to what Hindus believe or Buddhists or anybody else. So Oprah is not unusual in the rapidity of her shift. She's just public, and I think that we have had a lot more of these shifts happen than we are aware of from people who attended a church, didn't find anything to challenge the fact that they were into, you know, name it, astrology or chanting. I mean, the average Christian probably can't distinguish karma from sin, for example. And Oprah did an entire show on karma. So I think that the fact that she was able to shift so rapidly personally and then create such a shift years later with her show, yes, is something that those of us who are Christian leaders, religious leaders in general, need to really ponder in terms of how we are embedding our distinctives in the hearts of people.
So her brand of spirituality, Stephen, is not cloaked. It seems that what you're saying is that she, I hate to use the word agenda because it sounds so pejorative, but it does seem that she's been intentional about introducing her brand of spirituality to her audience in a sense of trying to develop followers to her brand of spirituality.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, and that's not a sinister thing as far as she perceives it. She simply found greater meaning in the, again, that motivational spirituality that we know is rooted in kind of an Eastern worldview. She found greater reality, greater empowerment, greater healing, greater, you know, uplift from that than she did in her Christian experience. And so she genuinely, just like somebody who's found a new kind of shampoo or seen a movie that's awesome, she began to go to her audience and say, hey, look what I found. Well, it just so happens that it was counter to the gospel. I'm not sure she always understood that. She spoke as though they could be the same thing. But it was counter to the gospel that she sometimes gave lip service or would talk about. And so I think that this is not sinister. This is not conspiratorial. She's not part of some, you know, subculture, a hidden secretive subculture. She's just bringing to the fore what had meant a lot to her. It's just that, again, it was something completely contrary to the gospel, whether she and her audiences understood it or not.
Would she consider herself an Orthodox Christian in the sense of, you know, somebody who says, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that he died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and he is alive today at the right hand of the Father. Would she make any kind of profession like that and then add to it?
I believe she would not, but let me explain that the reason that she wouldn't even use that language is that the Oprah Winfrey's Jesus is a reworked Jesus. It's not the Jesus that you and I perceive from the pages of Scripture. In around 1965, a Columbia professor by the name of Helen Schuckman began to have a voice speaking to her, told her to write down what the voice said, and this became what we now know as the Course in Miracles. It's a complete reworking of who Jesus is, from the historical Jesus, the traditional Jesus, the Jesus of our pews and our New Testaments, to a Jesus who is all love, not divine, really more about forgiving yourself than about, you know, sin and mediating between God and man and so on. And that Jesus that we now identify as the New Age Jesus is the Jesus of the Course in Miracles. Well, this had a profound influence upon Oprah, largely through Marianne Williamson. And as a result, when this is part of the problem. You may recall that Francis Schaeffer once said that theological liberalism is just humanism in theological clothing.
Right.
Well, New Age religion is just theological terms, maybe, you know, more familiar to Christians, reworked and given new meaning.
Hmm.
In fact, Marianne Williamson's theology is nothing but just reworking Christian terms to take the meaning out of them. So, to your question, if Oprah said, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus and I have been saved or transformed or reborn in him, she would not mean what you and I mean. She believes in a cosmic divine spirit. The more that you are in touch with, empowered by, healed by, you know, and filled with, infused with that spirit, the closer you are to God or whatever, as much of God as there is in the world. In fact, you actually are the God in this scheme. And so Jesus was not the Son of God, you know, the Messiah, now seated at the right hand of God. No, he is simply an enlightened one who knew how to manifest that divine spirit better than a lot of other people. He's just one of a whole number of gurus. So if she even talks about Jesus, she's only talking about him in terms of this New Age understanding of manifesting the divine rather than being the God-man, you know, all the things that we in our credo Christianity believe.
Do you see any of the philosophy of Oprah Winfrey creeping into mainstream Christianity? And let me just, and I don't mean this pejoratively, but I'm going to name a name here. You're seeing Joel Osteen everywhere now. Is Joel Osteen one example of maybe the Oprah Winfrey philosophy? Joel's not as far as Oprah. Don't misunderstand me.
Sure.
I still think that Joel Osteen is doing his best to be evangelical, although I think he's a lousy spokesman for evangelical Christianity. He has a very difficult time articulating theological points. But when Oprah says that what you think is the only thing that's really real, that creates reality. I mean, I hear some of that in prosperity gospel, you know, name it and claim it, think it, and it's going to happen. So how much has the Oprah Winfrey philosophy infected what we would consider mainstream Orthodox Christianity?
Well, I think it's infected it a great deal, and I think that's been largely inadvertent. I think that because we're not careful about our language and our doctrines and our churches, when we talk about meditation, for example, if we don't define it biblically, well, then people are going to draw from whatever the prevailing idea in the culture is of meditation. and ethics and things of that nature. So I don't believe that, you know, we are self-consciously drinking in Oprah. I just think that there's a vacuum. People aren't taught the biblical distinctives. There's a world of difference between Hindu meditation and Christian meditation. If you don't define those two, or you're incautious about your language and you use kind of current cool language about meditation that comes really, you know, through the culture from Hinduism, well, then you're gonna create confusion. You know, if people are chanting, or if they're assuming prayer positions, thinking they're in connection with the divine, or if Christians are trying to quote unquote empty themselves, which is the exact opposite of the point of Christian meditation, well, then they're going to be making space. I need to say, I'm a little bit more benevolent about Joel Osteen only in this sense. I know Joel, and Joel is well-intentioned. I'm not defending him now. He's well-intentioned, but he's no scholar. He's no thinker. And so I think that the problem is that he's so incautious about his language that I sometimes watch the show and go, oh, Joel, please, you know. And he has veered into something that's Oprah and New Agey, and he doesn't even know he's doing it. It's not as though he's read Marianne Williamson and he's trying to recreate her. He just doesn't know. And that's part of the problem, of course, I think you and I would agree, is that we have a lot of pastors and clergymen who are unlearned, unread, untaught. And so as a result, they are not able to distinguish their own theology, much less help their people do it.
Is there a sense, Stephen, that Oprah Winfrey is a paradox in this way? You know, for all of her talk about spirituality and looking within yourself and shaping reality and all of that, yet in nearly once a week on her television show, and maybe every day on her television show, I don't know, she graces her audience with these huge gifts. I mean, the one year on the opening day when she gave everybody in the audience, I think, a new car. Is there a paradox about that, that where she says, she seems to be one thing about, you know, the spiritual side of things, and yet, I mean, new cars and all the stuff that she promotes via her marketing savvy seems to not quite jive with that.
Well, this is one area where she's been different from most of the Eastern kind of lean, and that is that she believes that the divine presence wants her to be wealthy, wants her to have an abundance of material goods. She doesn't have that duality between the material and the spiritual that a lot of people have. In fact, many of these New Age teachers don't. They're almost all extremely wealthy. Deepak Chopra is vastly wealthy, and yet he's essentially a Hindu guru with an MD. And so I think that that's an area where she has departed from the traditional sort of Eastern lean and spirituality, meaning not being materialistic. She's unbelievably materialistic. And in the show, I think that when she gives these vast gifts, many people take this as just another sign that her theology works. Her spiritualism works. Who else is giving away cars to everybody in the 300-member audience? And so it's like, well, this is what her version of empowerment produces, and it becomes confirmation of a false theology.
She is obviously, she willingly stepped down from her high perch, a great platform with the Oprah Winfrey TV show, the OWN network, the OWN network, not doing well comparative to other networks that are like that. Is she still as influential? Is she going to continue to be as influential? Or because now she's off the scene, is it tempting for guys like me to let our guard down and say, we don't have to worry about Oprah anymore, she's gone?
Yeah, I think that would be a huge mistake. I think that, first of all, she is going to try to rescue the flagging fortunes of her OWN network with some of these spiritual teachers. She's already doing a personal coaching class. She's bringing Williamson and Chopra and others more into the programming. So I think that we'll see more of that at OWN, not less. And then I think the other thing is that Oprah really does believe she has a destiny of kind of global impact, and a lot of that has to do with her spirituality. So she's focused right now on resurrecting, well, not really resurrecting, but strengthening perhaps her network. But whether that happens or not, you can be sure that there are some big projects out there, some big events that are going to keep her in the global mind, and she's going to be a factor for us to deal with for a long, long time to come. The other thing, too, by the way, is that she's as Saudi Arabia is to Islam, she is to this New Age movement. She's funding it. You know, we're talking about multiple billions of dollars in her hands, and she is funding a great deal of it. So, you know, she's the deep pockets, even if she never opens her mouth.
So what then, Stephen, is the response from the Orthodox evangelical community as we deal with this from the pulpit, as we deal with it in media? What is the strategy for dealing with this massive influence that Oprah Winfrey has? I mean, I've got a 50,000 watt radio station that I'm on for 2 hours a day. How can I compete with that?
Well, I think we can. I think we can because the people we're impacting are already committed to Scripture. We just need to help them understand Scripture in terms of how it speaks to this kind of thing. The problem, as you know, for much of the church is that there's been a distinction between the Bible we read in our devotional lives and the lens through which we view culture or the world. And the Bible is a worldview in addition to everything else that it is. And pastors, churches, we need to be helping them answer these specific distinctives in our culture. I'm not trying to sell my book, but take my book or take somebody else's book, find out what Oprah teaches, use her as an example, lovingly, don't be harsh and mean, but
right.
You know, preach a sermon, you know, in where you talk about the difference between Christian and Eastern meditation, or you talk about karma versus sin, or you talk about, you know, the New Age Christ versus Jesus. I mean, sometimes we need to, you know, do an examination of the false so the Christians come home to the real. And I do a lot of teaching about world religions and cults, and there's nothing better to help people get a firmer grasp on Christian theology than to consider, as you're about to, Mormonism and other non-Christian religions. So all that to say, I just think that we've got to elevate the teaching mission of the church, and it can be cool and fun and relevant and part of us equipping people to be effective in this age.
Stephen Mansfield is the author of Where Has Oprah Taken Us? The Religious Influence of the World's Most Famous Woman. It's just out from Thomas Nelson. And you can find the book at Stephen's website, www.mansfieldgroup.com. When can we expect from Stephen Mansfield the faith of Mitt Romney?
Not anytime soon, I can assure you. I am going to write a book on Mormonism sometime soon in general, just because we're living at this amazing Mormon moment in America. And I do plan to write about that. But Mitt Romney, I think I'll let somebody else pick that one up.
www.mansfieldgroup.com is where you can get Where Has Oprah Taken Us? Stephen, it's always a joy chatting with you.
Great to be with you again. God bless.